Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com, live in his car once again for the first time this season. I know you've been anxiously awaiting your first drive home Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast, and here it is. This is from Purdue's 86-64 exhibition win over the University of Indianapolis in Mackey Arena with fans back. That's my turn signal, my co-host. If you're new to the show, this is basically I drive home from Mackey Arena after home games. While I'm driving, I talk into my phone for this quick podcast while I, A, drive safely and responsibly, but also make sure that no coyotes run in the road in front of me, make sure that no college students are laying in the middle of the road, as sometimes they tend to do when they've had a little bit too much fun. And I talk about the basketball game. So that's what I'm going to do. Purdue just beat the University of Indianapolis 86-64 once again in a game where the final score looks about right, but the process to that final score, you know, was a little bit unfulfilling. And coming off a scrimmage at Providence where Purdue, you know, lost in overtime after they let like a 14-point lead get away in the final 9 minutes, you really wanted to be better this game than you were that game. Obviously, University of Indianapolis is not Providence, so there's a little bit of apples to oranges kind of stuff going on there. But Purdue needed to be better defensively coming out of that Providence scrimmage. And while the final numbers, you know, might not look atrocious in that regard, I think if you watch the game, you realized Purdue was very vulnerable against the dribble, against a team that's not doesn't necessarily profile as one that, you know, ought to be giving a Big Ten program real problems, you know, driving the basketball. But Purdue was a little bit behind from a defensive perspective. You know, I never really want to take anything from these scrimmages and say this is troubling, this is a four-alarm fire, this is a red flag, whatever else, because when stuff gets real, good teams, you know, very often figure it out. The reality is that these preseason events, it's a positive thing when good teams struggle because it exposes them, it underscores what they need to be better at, and good things can come from that much more so than, you know, dunking on the little guy, you know, and winning by 40 without even having to break a sweat. That sounds fine as long as, you know, the team actually does get better off of those struggles. And, you know, Purdue does have to prove this here. They have to go and get better defensively right now. They have to be better against the dribble. They have to be better around the basket. They just have to be better from a defensive perspective. And I think Purdue's defensive improvement this season, you know, is the difference between them being, you know, just a good team like they were last year and being, you know, a potentially elite team, the team that people, you know, really want them to be and perceive them as right now. And the way people are looking at Purdue right now, you know, assumes a lot. It assumes that all of those young guys who played last year and were surprisingly good, surprisingly quick, as a unit collectively, that those guys are all going to make the same, or they're all going to make the sort of market progress they would need to make to skip a few steps there between just being a good team last year and being a great team this year. As I said before, that assumes an awful lot, but I do think it's a fair assumption to make because Purdue does have, you know, all the ability in the world. They do have experience now. This is as complete and as deep a team as Matt Painter's ever had at Purdue. But they have to be better than they've been in the preseason here. There are steps this team has to make that until they make, they have to be considered unproven in that regard. One of them is from a defensive perspective. Most notably, you know, they have to do a great job taking care of the basketball this year. They have to shoot better. They have to figure out how 10 guys, soon to be 11, are going to coexist on a team where generally a coach figures out who his 7 or 8 dudes are and kind of rolls with them when stuff gets tight. But this team has so many guys, and I think every team in college basketball right now is sitting there looking at their roster, at least publicly, and saying, we got a lot of players, we got a lot of good players, we trust everybody on our team. But most of them are full of it because most of them are just teams with maybe 5 or 6 good players at that, and then everybody else is a veritable cast of thousands. Purdue, I think genuinely, when you look at the team Purdue brought off the bench tonight against the University of Indianapolis, Travion Williams was the center. Trey Kaufman-Wren, who had a North Carolina offer out of high school, would be the four. Ethan Morton, who had Ohio State and Michigan offers out of high school and was one of probably Matt Painter's, one of the recruits I've seen Matt Painter get the most smitten over out of high school. He would be your three. Eric Hunter, who should have been on the Big Ten all-defense team last year and probably will be this year, and is a veteran on a team that, you know, had a really good year really quickly last year. He would be your point guard. And then Brandon Newman, who I think everybody who's seen him play understands how good of a player he can be. That would be your second team tonight coming off the bench. That would be a team that, you know, would vie to make the NCAA tournament, I think. Obviously, it would require a bench. No five-man team alone is going to go make the NCAA tournament. But I think that could be a starting five on an NCAA tournament team easily. I think that could be Purdue's starting lineup at some point. You wouldn't even blink. Because I think all of those guys are legitimate. You know, I don't think it's lip service when Purdue sits here and talks about how incredibly deep they are and how competition and practice is really good and all this stuff. And what this ought to be doing is crafting a real sense of urgency among all these guys, because somebody, there's just no way around somebody, if you ask me, there's no way around, how many times am I going to restart this sentence? There's no way around somebody, you know, not playing as much as everybody thinks they're going to play, not playing as much as he thinks he's going to play, and there's no way around a bunch of dudes who could be playing 25 to 30 minutes for a lot of teams, and for Purdue under a lot of circumstances, only playing 15 a night, you know, things like that. So this is going to come down to what these guys are doing in practice to figure out what value means to them and what value they can provide to their basketball team, but also what can they do better than anyone else on that roster? How can they best make the players around them better? I always use the example of the team with Carson Edwards, where those guys figured out how to make Carson Edwards a better player, and that supporting cast was an equal partner with Carson Edwards and Ryan Klein in that team's success, because they amplified the strengths of both of those players in a way that you just don't see very often. And for a lot of these guys who are fighting for minutes, you know, it comes down to who does the best job taking care of the basketball, who does the best job getting the ball to Zach Edey and Travion Williams, who does the best job knocking down open shots when people collapse on Jaden Ivey driving the lane, you know, things like that, who rebounds, who defends. The biggest part of that equation right now, to me, is who does the best job defending, because that is the fastest way and the most non-negotiable way to earn Matt Painter's heart. And right now, the team you've seen or not seen against Providence but heard about against Providence and the team you saw tonight against the University of Indianapolis, you know, hasn't been good enough defensively. So Purdue's got a lot of stuff to improve on here. But they got a lot of promise, man. I mean, obviously, you know how good Jaden Ivey can be. You know how good the two bigs are. Travion Williams played really, really well in this scrimmage. Caleb First played really well. He's going to hit the ground running as a freshman, I think, and be one of the better freshmen in the Big Ten. And a guy who gets a chance to start at the four right now, to start his career, in part because of Mason Gillis' situation, but also because he's really good, and he may never let go of that job. You know, I thought Ethan Morton played really well tonight. I think he's doing really positive things. I think Isaiah Thompson's doing really positive things. I think Eric Hunter, obviously, his value is pretty much carved out already, I think. He's going to play a lot. Sasha Stefanovic and Brandon Newman both are legitimate guys. I think Brandon Newman isn't quite there yet in terms of how good he can be and some of the things he has to figure out to be as good as he can be. But I don't know how far off he is. And that's a guy who, again, would be, you know, a starter under most circumstances at Purdue, would be a 30-minute guy at a lot of places, and he's coming off the bench at Purdue. And that is a really good problem to have, but there are going to come nights where, you know, that is going to be a problem because, you know, guys need to get into rhythms, guys need to, you know, get established, guys need to be sure of themselves, and they need to be in the best positions possible to, you know, be successful. And, you know, Purdue just needs to figure this out, I think, in terms of, you know, who fits where, who fits best where, who fits best with who. And that might be a process. There might be, you know, some turbulence early in the season. You'd prefer to not have as much turbulence when you play North Carolina or Villanova or Tennessee or whoever else you get in Hartford. You don't want to lose a game because of the turbulence, but there might be turbulence nonetheless. So there's going to be some challenges for this Purdue team, you know, early in this season, more so than I think people think. I think there's a lot that's unproven still about this Purdue team, and I don't think this preseason has done a whole lot to dispel any of that unprovenness. So that's what I got from this game. It's just dawning on me now. I forgot to mention our sponsors at the top of this, so I apologize very much, but do want to make mention of Follett's Purdue Bookstores, the East End Grill and Ripple and Company, Purdue Federal Credit Union, and the Whitaker Inn, which I drove past the other night, and there was a nice little herd of deer sprinting through the field next to their place. So be sure to check out all those businesses. They've been very good to us, and they'll be very good to you as well if you patronize them. So please keep them in mind. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you again Tuesday night after Purdue plays. I think it's Belmont. I really ought to look that up and know. But thanks, everybody. Have a good one.